McShane Bible Study, day 365. We are ending our McShane Bible Study. And so that's the last chapter of four different books, the first of which is 2 Chronicles, chapter 36. And he kind of ties everything up really quickly, right? He goes through four different kings. The first is deposed by Necho of Egypt. He makes another one king. It was his brother, right? And then we see Nebuchadnezzar coming and replacing him. And then they keep rebelling, and then a son is made king. There's basically four kings, and eventually Nebuchadnezzar has enough with all of them and just not only just conquers them, but, you know, first he conquers them, takes the good stuff, and then lets them be, right? But then they continue to rebel, and he said, all right, you people are being troublemakers. So he just annihilates them, right? He takes everything, and he takes all the people. And so there's not a whole lot left. And we know from Jeremiah there were certainly some left, but not a lot. And then verse 15 says, the Lord, the God of their father, sent persistently to them by his messengers because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they kept mocking the messengers of God, despising his words and scoffing at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people until there was no remedy. So he says, you know, the Lord sent messengers, but the people thought, oh, you foolish people, you know, that's not true. We're good. You know, our way of worshiping God is good enough. We're not listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so God said, well, then I must bring down this people because they no longer represent me. 21 says, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed its Sabbaths. All the days that it lay desolate, it kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So Sabbath means rest, right? Mm-hmm. Our weekly Sabbath is a day of rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
God instituted that in the law. It's one of the most important things he mentions in the law. And he says, now the land itself is getting a rest, a 70-year rest. 23, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia. So then he skips forward, you know, years. He says the people were beholden to Babylon until Persia conquered them. And then 23, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever is among you of all his people, may the Lord his God be with him. Let him go up. So again, this is just a fast forward history. Just like, I'm not sure how many years, 100, 150 years passes by in this chapter. But now we see the people coming back, coming out of Babylon.
No, wait, wasn't it 70?
Well, 70 that they were in there, but the first few paragraphs, they weren't in, they hadn't been conquered by that one yet. So I'm not sure how many years. Maybe it was closer to 70 than 100. But anyways, a lot of time passes in this one chapter, and he's just summing everything up quickly to say, hey, this is the history of our people. This is how we came out. When Revelation says, come out of Babylon, my people,
mm-hmm.
It's the same proclamation here, right? Cyrus is saying, if you're a people of God, come out of the ways of the world. Go into the promised land, the kingdom of heaven, right? Okay. Next is Revelation chapter 22. And we see the river of life here. I mentioned it yesterday, right? This river of life, same one we see in, I think it's Ezekiel 47. We see the river of life coming from the throne of God, from the temple of God. Well, here John has it as, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So, we saw the picture of the people of God being a city before. It's mm-hmm. his movable city. It's closer to the tabernacle than it is the mm-hmm. temple, right? Because the tabernacle moved. It's God's mm-hmm. moving. So God's in his people. His temple, his tabernacle, are his mm-hmm. people moving around throughout the earth, wherever they may be, bringing the kingdom of heaven with them, right? But here you see this river of life. Well, what is a river? A river is always moving, right? The river is there, but the water within it is always moving, progressing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you see this life of God. It's moving in his people. So his people are continually being changed, being directed, being led. But this river flows also from within the people to touch other people, to bring others within this river, right? You see fruits, new fruits yielding each month.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the fruit, of course, it's food to eat, right? It's provision. But it's also, it's blessing. You find fruit in season, that's a real blessing to find, right? Kind of like mm-hmm. where you have the neighbor with the peach tree or the fig trees or the pecans that we find when we go out on a walk. That's a blessing when that time of year comes around, right? Or the walnuts we found on the camping trip. Well, here we have new fruit every season. We have just beautiful, bountiful life flowing because the people have fully committed themselves to him, and he has overwhelmingly blessed them with his life. It's a never-ending, ever-expanding life. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
There's no need for light because he is our light, and he is with us. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. So their thinking is his thinking, the mind of Christ, right? Okay. 14, blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. So remember, and I didn't note this in that first paragraph, the tree of life, what was cut off from Adam and Eve? You remember?
The tree of life.
Tree of life, right? God said, some people think they could never eat of the tree of life. Or that they, sorry, not that they couldn't, that they didn't. Or I've always been inclined to think they did eat of the tree of life, but that they just were tantalized. Either way, whether it was that they never ate of it or that they did eat of it, but either way, they were tantalized more by the tree of knowledge of good and evil, by rebellion, by disobedience, right? By going their own way. And so they were cut off from the tree of life. Well, now, Jesus has made a way for us to come into his life, to come into his kingdom, to partake of the tree of life. So, who gets to do this? 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They make themselves clean, right? So, you know the visions, the multiple visions. There's Zechariah. There's similar with Isaiah, it's more the lips, but I think there might be others. But anyways, in Zechariah for sure, as Joshua comes and he's like, I've got unclean garments. It's like, it's the sin of worldliness, of fleshliness, right? But Jesus has made us clean. But he says here, those who wash their robes, so seeking him, we can't make ourselves clean, but we must continually seek him, that he makes us clean. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
We can claim Jesus as our own and go on with a worldly life. That's not making ourselves clean. Making mm-hmm. ourselves clean is continually seeking him, continually be directed by him, continually repenting and offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to him. and then he washes us clean. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Okay. Malachi 4. And so, in verse 1, this is a short chapter, right? 6 verses. We're just celebrating. Weston has now read the entire Bible, because Psalms we'll get to in a minute, but that's our second time through Psalms. I'm probably going to read the whole thing. It's only 6 verses. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. We just talked about this fire of in the gold and silver passes through in order to be made more pure, right? There's always the fire and wrath of destruction, right? For those who, you know, who don't turn to the Lord. So it says, for behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. So he says, I will completely obliterate all the people and all their ways that are against my ways. So not like the first conquering of Babylon, of Nebuchadnezzar, of Judah, where he kind of left them standing. You just heard him a little bit. He said, there's the day coming that all of you will come to a complete end. 2, but for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. And you were astute to just notice the sun is spelled S-U-N. So we see a sun, a new light rising up. The light of God's righteousness healing his people. We just looked in Revelation that there's no need of a sun of the carnal sun, right? The worldly sun, the sun that we can see with our eyes, because the light of God is now shining in us. This is metaphorical kind of language, meaning I'm not saying that there won't be an actual sun. I tend to believe there will be. There's talk of new heavens and new earth, but I think my guess is that's more transformational. But who knows? Maybe he'll undo the Big Bang and then start over. I don't know. But my guess is it's more transformational process. Like, I don't think the earth stopped to exist and then a new earth was created when Adam and Eve fell and the earth was corrupted and ruled by Satan. It just, in a very real spiritual sense, became corrupted, had a new dark ruler. I think in a very real spiritual sense, because the spiritual is eternal. It's more real than anything we can see or touch, right? That may be hard for us to get when we live in the world where we see and touch things all day long, but that's the reality of it. And so, if things are transformed into an eternal, godly reality, that's a new heaven and a new earth. But he said, in my opinion, that doesn't mean there stops being a sun. Mm-hmm. It does mean that the reality of the life of God, the healing, the righteousness, the very life of God in us is of such a magnitude greater that it just eclipses anything the sun can offer, right? It's just pointed out because the sun is kind of the most glorious thing we can see. We can't even really look at it, right? If you look at it, you're going to burn your eyes. You can kind of look at it a little bit. If you sit there and stare at the sun, you're going to be like partially blinded the rest of your life. You know that? So we're smart. Our bodies are smart enough that we just don't do that. It's glorious, right? It's like God. In the physical world, it's the closest equivalent. But it's a pale shadow of the glory of God, right? Who made the sun and all the other billions of stars. Right? Mm-hmm. And so we have this new reality in our lives, not just as some far off sun, but actually in us. shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. You know, calves were put in stalls and offered up as a sacrifice, right? Yeah. They would offer up a calf as a sacrifice for, you know? And here, a calf, if he understood all this, might or might not, depending on what was going on around him, would leap for joy at being set free, right? As we offer ourselves as sacrifices to the Lord, as living sacrifices. Lord, your will be done, not mine. What would you have me do? I know what I want to do in this situation, but put that aside. What would you have me do in this situation? Continually, every day, right? As we do that, we're set free from the bounds of this world that we were born constrained with, right? Having a ruler of Satan, even though we never consciously chose that, that's the reality we were born into. We're set free from that. 3, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. So he's got an overcoming people, overcoming the wickedness of the world. 4, remember the law of my servant Moses, the statutes and rules that I commanded him at Horeb for all Israel. So he says, here we have an end times people who truly live my ways, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, we have now a living law of the Spirit in us, right? Teaching us. We have the written law of Moses and of the New Testament guiding us in principle. We have the Spirit to teach and train us in the living reality of the life of God amongst the people, right? So he said the covenant that's been offered again and again and again, here we have a people living by that. Not throwing it away because, hey, I've got God, I've got Jesus, I'm good. But living this life. Behold, 5, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. So you wonder why people are wondering, well, where's Elijah? Where's Elijah? Are you Elijah? You know, they asked all those questions in the time of John and Jesus, right? And Jesus said, hey, if you can understand it, John came in the spirit of Elijah. In other words, look, this is fulfilled, just not the way you understood it. Mm-hmm. Right? Who was Elijah? Elijah came speaking truth to the powerful world around him that was anti-Christ, anti-God. But he came and stood against all those powers and spoke to them. John did the same thing, right? Prepared the way, the awesome day of the Lord. Now 6, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. God's saying, I have to have my way. I have to have a people that live my way. Mm-hmm. It's the way I've designed them for. My plan is eternal, and I want a people that choose to be a part of my plan forever and ever and ever. It's beyond anything we can imagine in our limited brains. But he says, I want a people who choose to be a part of this. And if you won't be that people, I have to do away with you because my plan is more important than you. You have a limited earthly perspective. And you might think you're great and wonderful, but your plan doesn't work. Mine does. And everyone and everything is blessed by it. And for the people who choose my way, I will bless them and bring them in. For those that don't, I must do away with it. And what's at the heart of this plan? I'll turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. I will have a family. My family on earth. We just talked about this the other day. I can't remember what we were reading. But it will go from generation to generation, increasing in blessing throughout the world, increasing in the knowledge of me, increasing of the likeness of me and all my people, living together in unity, right? Mm-hmm. This is God's plan, and that's the end of the Old Testament. That's what, when the people were waiting for a Messiah, this is the last major prophet that had spoken, the last biblical prophet, certainly. And I think we will end just by reading Psalm 150, just a wonderful way to end it. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, that's the essential wisdom that God gives to us. The more we worship him, the more we praise him, the more we thank him, the more we put him at the center of our lives, the more we will enter into his blessing. Everything else will get worked out. He will crowd out all the others if we spend our life in worship and praise of our mighty God. Mm. That's all I have. Do you have anything? This is the last one. Do you have anything?
No.
No?
God bless you.
God bless you!
God bless you.